Well, this morning, as we come to the conclusion of the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:24-29, but especially about halfway through chapter 7, Jesus has been calling on all who hear him to enter his kingdom, to enter it. And in entering it, become one of his disciples. With that message ringing in our ears, just last week in verses 15 to 20, we saw how Jesus warned us about those who would deceive us about the kingdom. Those who, by distorting or stretching or hiding the truth, would actually close the door to the kingdom and bar people from entering it. And then in verses 21 to 23, we saw too how Jesus warned us against a false profession, saying with our lips that we are his disciples, but denying that with our lives, having a verbal profession. 24 and 25 also, consider that Jesus challenged his hearers to examine their level of submission. Now, the matter of foundations is really not the central aspect of the text. It's there in the point of the parable, of course, but the main point of the parable is surely not foundations. It's surely this, of the need, the urgent need, Jesus said, to not only hear what he said, but to be obedient to it, to submit ourselves to it. In fact, he tells it that this is what separates the wise man from the foolish man. Yes, there was a difference between the two in terms of the foundations they chose, but Jesus points to the bigger problem. The bigger problem when he says that the one who hears his words but does not do them is like the foolish man who. And the one who hears his words and obeys them is like the wise man who. Now, the issue is not building only. The issue is hearing. It is not enough just to be a hearer of what Jesus says. It is not enough just to listen to him. Not enough merely to acknowledge him, though both of these things ought to be done. But hearing has to be followed by submission or by obedience. See how Jesus continues the theme he began in 21 to 23. There he warned against that verbal profession that doesn't have a heart reality or a life-changing reality. For the Bible makes it clear that when God's grace comes in to someone, it changes them. They don't remain the same. They can't be the same. In fact, sinners are not only forgiven by the grace of God, but are transformed by that grace of God into being new creatures in Christ, increasingly into the image of his Son. And while Jesus has told his hearers to beware of being those who claim to have a relationship with him, but in reality have none, so here he gives the solution to this issue. It's hearing and obeying that is needed. It's hearing and submitting. Matthew Henry said here, it's not enough to hear Christ's sayings and to understand them. It's not enough to hear them and to remember them. It's not enough to hear them and talk about them. It's not enough to hear them and repeat them. To hear them and admire them. To hear them and dispute for them. The only response is to hear them and do them. And this is a constant theme of what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught. Go back to chapter 6, verse 15. If you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Jesus is not saying that God's forgiveness of you is contingent on how well you forgive others, but he is saying if you've been truly forgiven by God, you'll be a person who's able to forgive. Receiving forgiveness, giving forgiveness. A bit further on, Matthew 12, Jesus said when his family wanted to see him, "Who is my mother and who is my brother? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, they are my sister and my mother and my brother." Whoever does the will. Not whoever hears the will, but whoever does. If you want to be included in the family of the Lord Jesus, submission to him is the way. Over and over we find his teaching stresses. Discipleship is not a matter of lips, but of lives. Lives showing in practice that we profess by our lips is what we believe with our heart and do with our hands and our feet. In the reading that Robin brought to us, we're reminded about those who hear and do. And James spoke about the man who forgets what he sees in the mirror. And chapter 2, he goes to say that faith without works is dead. John taught it in his third chapter. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And his fifth chapter, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. and his commandments are not burdensome. Let me point out here, the scriptures do not teach that we save ourselves by submission, but we show that we are saved by our submission, by our obedience. This is the doing about which he is speaking in the parable. And this doing is not what saves us. It's his word, it's his life, it's his death, his resurrection. It's he that saves us. But those who have been truly saved will know that the doing follows on, like the engine pulling the carriage. The carriage follows on and not the other way around. So too Jesus is saying here, don't claim to be one of mine because you've heard me. Do it. Obey it. And then you'll have more than a claim. You'll have reality. And it will show. And boy, does it need to show. Post-Christian Australia contains many, many, many people who claim to be believers, but who have no fruit to show for it. And many of them attend mainstream conservative denominations and churches just like ours. Many. It's been my privilege to preach to you for 11 years, and perhaps no question I have ever asked you or ever will ask you is as important as this one. Have you been a hearer and not a doer? Have you heard the gospel preached but have never responded to its message? Have you heard all about Jesus but never believed in him for yourself? See, no one else can do it for you. You cannot be saved on the basis of another person's faith. You're not saved because you come to church and hear God's word. Have you heard the gospel? Have you done what it requires? Has the grace of God transformed you from ear to heart? And all of us need to ask that question of ourselves, lest our profession be empty and invalid. And there would be nothing worse than to be found with an empty profession on the last day, or to be found having built on the sand instead of upon the rock. Well, what then? Verse 28 and 29 contain one more thing that I would draw your attention to. Matthew tells us that when Jesus finished this sermon, the crowds were astonished. That's recorded in verses 28 and 29. These verses assert in no uncertain terms that all these words that Jesus spoke, that's from chapter 5 through chapter 6 and chapter 7, were given with the authority of God. And that's a great thing. The authority of God. Jesus spoke with great authority. But there's one thing that isn't told us. Matthew doesn't tell us that they believed what he said. They were flabbergasted by his words, the like which they'd never heard from chapter 5 onwards. They heard his words. They were astonished at the kind of teaching he gave. But there's no evidence here that they embraced the one who gave these words. There is a danger, of course, and we know this can be true from experience, that it's possible to hear the gospel preached faithfully, regularly, consistently, urgently, and still not embrace what the gospel offers. And what the gospel offers here too. The one who built his house on the rock, will his house remained. The same rain, the same floods, the same wind all beat against it, and it stood. So too the one who comes to Christ, who takes him. The scriptures say of them, they shall never be put to shame. Psalm 31, verse 1. Take refuge in the Lord. Find your refuge in him. Hear him. Obey him. Submit to him. Build on him. He will keep you safe. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Lord, especially we come today with the prayer, having heard what Jesus said, having heard an explanation of his words, which are clear enough in themselves. How far will they go into our ears? How will we respond to them? What are you seeking for from us, if not a response of faith? Hearing, believing, doing. We bring you thanks for this wonderful section of your word, though we've really only been in chapter 7 this year. But we thank you for all that we've learned in it. And we glorify you that you sent one who is a great teacher, but not just a great teacher, a wonderful Saviour. And we would remember as we've sat under his teaching that it's all in vain unless we turn from sin and turn to you in faith and receive all that you have to give to us. Not just in your teaching, but through your death and resurrection on our behalf. And we thank you for the wonderful gospel we have, this gospel in which we stand. We thank you that it is a solid foundation. So help us to build accordingly through hearing and obeying. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.